Thank you guys for tuning in to Kineticast. It's your host, Dr. Bo. And today I have one of my athletes joining me, Alexander Mikic. And Alexander is a swimmer that we've been working on a lot of breath work, functional movement patterns. We've worked on a lot of different things. Alex, you want to say hi to everybody?
What's going on, everybody?
So why don't you start with what's required for swimming, like how much you do a week, and everything that you put your body through, because I'm not sure everybody understands the hours that you put in the pool.
So what a normal in-season week consists of is about 9 or 10 swims, about 8 of them rigorous, and then 2 of them strictly technique-based. And then 2 or 3 gym sessions every week and a lot of breath work. Breath work pretty much consistently every day. So normally we go in every weekday. I have an evening swim 4 times a week. I have a morning swim and then Saturday morning as well. And then 3 gym sessions during the week as well. So it's a lot of work. But I like it a lot, and it's a lot of fun. So,
we can't really stop you from doing it. You're just gonna keep going.
just keep going.
Yeah, you can see that like one of our talks in the beginning was about recovery, right? Mm-hmm. Because there was a lot of loading, and there was a lot of repetitions that were put in there. So we had to talk about recovery, when to take days off, when to like cycle, because that was very important. Because you like to push. And you're pushing hours and hours and hours a day and constantly swimming. So that was an area for us. When we started with functional movement screenings with the tech. We started with gait analysis. And I think we went through a couple of different things. Like we helped out with the shoulder, foot and ankle.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything else? Was there knee?
There was some knee pain.
Yeah.
There was some knee pain. And just general... I mean, lack of stability.
Yeah,
that was a big one too.
That was the key. Yeah.
Yep.
But I mean, you think that like we talked about this before too, like the long pattern stuff. Like you have you with your sport with swimming, your body's completely stretched out. You're mm-hmm. not in a power 2-point position or anything like that. You see a lot of other sports compressed mm-hmm. into.
Yep.
So for you, you have to identify that and rehab it slightly different, where you're looking at longer patterns versus getting people out of short compressions. Mm-hmm. So for you and your knee, it's not so much the same process as anybody else. So let's talk about like how the knee shows up, or how the ankle and foot was pretty specific to a specific stroke, wasn't it?
That was, I think, just probably just doing a lot of work with fins.
Yeah.
Which just put a lot of stress on my ankles, just doing a lot of dolphin kicking, a lot of flutter kicking.
That was it, yeah. The flutter kicks.
And over time, it just kind of added up, and then it just started happening all of a sudden, pretty much.
Yeah, and then we change stability pathways, mobilize mm-hmm. different things, and then we get rid of that load. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the biomechanical. My listeners have heard me talk about biomechanical all the time. That's a very common topic for me, and I wanted to make talk about that for the swimming too. But the focus today is about the breath work.
Yes.
And you, sir, are crushing it. I don't have many athletes or patients mm-hmm. that can beat me on it because I practice it too. But I think you told me today you got a little farther than I did. And I was like, dang, you walked in here and told me. So a BOLT score, a blood oxygen level test, is whenever we look at that, we're looking at how long someone can resist the neurostimulator of carbon dioxide, which makes you feel like you need to take a breath. So it's basically a breath hold test done on empty. And why don't you tell us where you started and then where you're at today?
Well, the first time I've ever done this was maybe about, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago. I'm not sure, maybe a little bit less than that. And it was 17 full seconds.
And under 25 is considered dysfunctional breathing patterns, just so everybody mm-hmm. knows. And you're a swimmer, so you better have good breathing patterns.
Yeah, it's pretty crucial. And then I started working with Dr. Bo. First time I ever tested it with him was 31.
I believe it was at 30. I think it was lower than that, but like it was 31 was the one when you got into like the first part of just the foundational breath work,
mm-hmm.
meaning that like you're doing 4-minute drill, stuff like that, where you're feeling the biomechanical stuff, the day one stuff that we went through, that took you from, I think you were in the 20s, but that took you to that 31 pretty quickly.
So, yes, and then I got to that 31, and then I started being extremely consistent with my breathing exercises, doing my sitting breath holds, doing my running breath holds, squats as well. And
that's the advanced work.
And then it just kind of shot up. I mean, you kind of look at everything.
Right.
But I feel like the end result, you could mostly see how you're improving from your sitting breath hold.
Right.
Which then kept on getting higher and higher until I broke a minute.
Yeah.
For the first time, and that was probably a year ago.
Yeah, and that's taking it from, like, we'll say 31, and that's taking it to over 60, right? Because we're going 60. By seconds.
Mm-hmm. So. 60 seconds. And then I was super pumped about that. And
so
then,
was I.
And then kept on doing it over the summer and just pretty much doing them every day pretty much. Yeah. And then just continued to do my running breath holds, continued to do my squats. And then this morning I hit 230, that which is 150 seconds.
Yeah.
150 seconds. So that was... That's a big milestone, obviously. My goal is to get to 3 minutes by the end of this year.
Yep.
And I think I got it. So it's just, at the end of the day, it's just about doing them every day and just not breathing, pretty much.
Well, and we talked about like doing some blood work and stuff like that today. We talked about like getting some different measurements and looking at that and seeing your adaptations. But we also talked about how, like, your adaptations could scare other people because of how much work you put in on this. That it's not normal, right? Like, people are going to look at it not normal because when you do your blood work, I'm going to ask you to go through your breath holds and work it up to that 150-second mark if you can, and then go from there. But let's talk a little bit about the process, because the process for you, you definitely, when you were really training and you were in it and you were, like, pushing the swimming, you're going, you're doing your breath hold work. We had a little bit of a phase where we got to like almost not a plateau. It looks like a plateau, right? Your numbers look like a plateau, but you're like, yeah, it's about the same. And like, yeah, it's about the same. Well, tell us about what that felt like and what it felt like for you as you were doing that, and then kind of how we broke through it with more of the recovery side.
Well, it was kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
Kind of going in every day, doing my breath holds, and then just coming up with the same result every day.
Yeah.
And then it was brought to me that it's probably because I'm in peak training right now, and that takes huge tolls on your body. And then I started opening up more to the recovery side of things, going through the same foam rolling and stretching and all different types of stuff after every single exertion that I have, whether it be a gym session, whether it be a swim, or whether it just be a rest day on Sunday where I'm not doing anything. So the breath hold results definitely increased after I started doing more recovery.
Yeah.
Which just shows that you got to take care of your body.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like, so let's talk about the science for a sec about what the breath hold is doing and what we're doing. Now, we talked a little bit about the neurological. CO2 is the neurostimulator to take a breath. So that's carbon dioxide, what we breathe out. Well, when you're doing breath holds and you're blowing all of your air out and doing breath holds, you're actually reducing oxygen and increasing the carbon dioxide in your blood. So you start to build the resistance to it like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the neuro side. But the physical side is that oxygen is reduced in your bloodstream because you're taking it out of your bloodstream and you're putting it into your muscular tissue. And recovery, just doing breath work will actually reduce the amount of soreness from workouts because you'll get more of the waste products pumped out of there because strictly just due to transfer of the oxygen and pumping out like lactic acid or whatever you want to call it, because there's a lot of studies that show different. But that side, that's the mechanical side of it. Mm-hmm. So if we look at the mechanical, and your body is constantly pushing and it's constantly going and it's keeping a high inflammation base and you're not really getting that recovery time to recover the glycogen stores in your muscles, so energy for the cells, and not being able to get to that side, well, your breath holds and your breath work is also going to struggle, because that is just you transferring oxygen in and out, right? Mm-hmm. So as you focused more on your recovery side for your body, you were getting more out of your breath hold. So we had to look at, that's when we were talking about not tapering, but reprogramming a little bit of how much you were doing each day and what times you were doing what and which mm-hmm. day you were doing what. And that, I think, was a big piece. So, oh, no. Okay. Sorry, guys. The podcast app just slowed down on me. Anyway, that was a big part of it. And so now, once you focused on, like, think, because there's going to be a lot of athletes that do breath work, and they're going to get to a certain point, and they're like, man, I'm so much better. But then they're like, why am I plateauing? You hear it all the time in the gym. I'm lifting, and I'm lifting, and I'm lifting, and now I can squat this weight, but I can't get over it, and I've been stuck at this weight for months. I'm plateaued. I need to do something different. Well, no, you need to figure out why you're plateauing and what that is. It could be a movement discrepancy. It could be bad squat form. It could be a number of things, sleep, and you were able to handle it. And you're very good. Right? You handle nutrition. You handle sleep. You handle these other areas very well that are important that a lot of athletes miss. So for you, it was pretty easy for me to be like, well, it's not his nutrition, because he eats well and he takes care of himself and whatever he's eating. He's eating for fuel versus for fun. And then you do well with your sleep, which we know rest, digest, that's your healing time. Yeah. You did some foam rolling, you did a good, you picked that up. But you taking care of your schedule and the recovery stuff, that's whenever you saw the big correlating, oh my goodness, I'm holding my breath longer.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it feel like swimming with this type of breath hold compared to before?
Well, one thing that I could definitely say is that you jump in the water way more relaxed. You go and you do your breath holds before practice, and 2 minutes after you're done with your breath holds, you feel just like you could take off. You feel so light, in a sense. You feel completely one with yourself, completely relaxed, and you're ready to go. 'Cause, I mean, you could talk about the physical side of the breath holds, but I feel like there's also a huge mental side of it.
Yep.
Going from 1 minute and 40 seconds to 2 minutes and 20 seconds, you know your body could do that. It's just about if your brain is willing to suffer those 40 seconds
yeah.
to get a good result. So I feel like you're already warmed up mentally.
Yeah.
You're warmed up physically. You're completely relaxed. All your muscles are completely relaxed. And then you just jump in the water and you just start swimming. You already feel warmed up, because obviously you do a warm up at the beginning of every practice. For me, when I do really good on my breath holds before practice, in the middle of warm up, I already feel like I'm ready to go fast. I'm already ready to grind out this practice and just destroy everything. So it's definitely a big boost for me doing my breath holds before practice.
Yeah, that's cool. Like you're talking about the neuro side. So let's talk about the five breath holds. You were kind of talking to me about this mm-hmm. when we were in the treatment room. Go ahead and explain like what the first breath hold feels like compared to the fifth breath hold.
So the first breath hold is,
and this is repetitive, guys. Like he's doing these breath holds every day, but he does the five as a primary for us to. And I'll talk about the physiology in a sec, but that's, you have to get through five is the number that's recommended. Mm-hmm. So he's going to explain what number one feels like versus number five.
Right. So number one, at least for right now, I'm not getting anywhere close to 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah. Exactly.
Number one is very stiff, and it feels just like your lungs are a lot smaller.
Yeah.
And this just, I normally just do it for like a minute and 5 seconds or something like that. And it just feels really tense and really off. And compare that to the fifth breath hold where you've already done four before that. You're just super relaxed. You're for at least the first minute and whatever amount of seconds of that last breath hold, you're just in the zone. You are completely relaxed. You're not tense at all. All your muscles are loose. And to be quite honest, time goes by faster.
Cool.
Because it's like that first breath hold sometimes feels the same length as the last one does. If I, if that makes any sense. So it's just, there's a huge difference, a lot more relaxed by the fifth one.
I think you said it right there. It feels the same. Because remember, we talk about carbon dioxide being a neural stimulant, right? Like it's the signal. That's what tells you to take the breath. Mm-hmm. But if you're building up your resistance and your neural resistance, so like your brain is resisting the need to take a breath, and you're building that up over each one, it feels the same to you, but you doubled your, like, almost doubled your time, right?
Yes.
And the doubled the time, that's the key that we need to, like, focus on. So then let's talk the physiology real quick. So, of course, we can all see why, like, being able to hold your breath longer in the water is going to be a benefit to a swimmer, right?
Right.
Well, that's not one that we have to, like, break down for everybody. But what is it doing for you, and why is it good for a endurance sport? Well, when you do these breath holds, by the fifth one, most of the studies show 3 to 5, but by the fifth one, you're getting what's called splenic flexion. And the spleen will flex, and when it does that, your spleen contains 80% hematocrit. Hematocrit is oxygenated blood. So that will be released into your system. So now think, if we're doing breath holds, and I said we're increasing our CO2 and decreasing our oxygen levels in the blood, that they have opposite positive and negative, right? They're opposite, so you're going to change your pH in your blood. Mm-hmm. So now that you're changing your pH, that pH drop from the breath holds is going to cause the hemoglobin, the red blood cell that releases oxygen, so the oxygen can go to the muscle, that pH level is going to change and allow it to release easier. Mm-hmm. But you just flexed your spleen, and you released 80% hematocrit, which has a ton of extra oxygen in the blood already, and now, because of the pH level, all of that oxygen is going to be released easier. And so all that oxygen is going to get released because it was in storage and it's not your circulating bloodstream. So you're now what's considered legal blood doping. Like that's pretty much what it is. You're allowing more oxygen that you get more access to. And because the pH level drops, it transfers easier. Because you're doing nasal breathing, your nitric oxide is up, and nitric oxide is a big piece of oxygen transfer for you. All of these things are improving and changing, and that's why these endurance sport athletes can get better. The other part is your kidneys release EPO, erythropoietin, and you start producing more red blood cells, which red blood cells carry oxygen. Mm-hmm. So think, all of the physiology around this is for endurance athletes. And it's not just endurance. Take a bunch of blood and oxygenated blood and put it into your legs. Do you think you're going to squat more? Of course. You got fuel. Mm-hmm. But that's what you're doing every time you go out there and swim. So, like, the fact that you're at 2.5 minutes right now and you, like, figured out what the causation to was to your, in air quotes, plateau, and now you can hit 2.5 minutes, your next goal is what?
Next goal, I mean, 3 minutes. Three minutes, and then, I mean, obviously, keep on pushing after that. I'd like to see a 5 minutes in, like, I don't know how long that'll take, a year time, something like that. So I just want to see constant improvements in my breath holds, and I'll be satisfied with that. I mean, I want to hit 3 minutes by the end of this year.
You will.
That's the big goal, and then push further after that. So just keep on getting higher.
So let's also talk about the neurostimulant, the neuro side, right? The neurostress side. If you're stressed out and you're having a hard day or you have a rough time, your breath holds aren't as good and your times aren't going to be as high. How have you noticed anything with school, studies, hard exams or anything like that affecting your times?
Well, for me personally, I try not to stress that much about school.
There you go.
but it's one thing that I could definitely say about breath holds is that you can definitely see a dip in your results when your mind isn't focusing on breath holds.
Yeah.
When you're thinking about something that's going to happen tomorrow, or you did something at school today, you did horrible on this exam, or you're mad at yourself because you did a horrible job at practice yesterday, or whatever it is, it's your breath holds aren't going to be the same.
Yeah.
And you're definitely not going to be hitting your high scores when you're not thinking about only breath holds while you're doing it.
Yeah, the intent matters, right? Like what you intend to do with what you're doing. That's why, like, I'll do a single leg hip hinge with people, and I say, I want you to think about this be your running stride. if you think about it, you'll be able to recreate it in your sport. Mm-hmm. So we went a lot through the breath hold side. We went through multiple aspects of that. So you're a junior in high school right now.
Yes.
Wanting to swim in college, correct?
Yes.
So what are your goals for, like, times in the water now?
Well, what I want to do is I want to go elite D1. That is the goal. That would be a dream come true. Not on that level yet right now, obviously, but I want to get there for this. But I'm trying to take it one season at a time. It's so easy to look at the big picture and say, oh, I only got a few more years before college. And then whenever I think about it that way, it just kind of stresses me out.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking one season at a time and just trying to do my best every day. And eventually I think that it'll all come to me. In terms of times, by the end of this season, I want to break my 100 fly school record.
Nice.
Which would be really cool, and a few other records that I'm looking to break as well. So that would be an achievement for this season. And I mean, every season, this is kind of the way I've been looking at it recently, is that every season builds on top of the next one. So it's whatever I do this season happens, and then I see kind of see myself at the end of the season, like, okay, I did this great stuff, and maybe I'm happy about it for like a day.
Yeah.
And then the next day, it's like, what am I gonna do next?
Yeah.
Pretty much. So it's kind of weird, because like, you're looking at this goal that seems kind of distant, and then you achieve it, and then the next day you're already like, okay, I'm not satisfied with that. What's next?
On to the next one.
That's pretty much how it is. So, yep, it's an exciting time right now. Just starting up a new season. Have my first meet starting today. So.
And you're gonna crush it.
I'm gonna crush it.
Yeah.
Definitely. And yeah, well, I mean, we'll see how it goes.
You made a good point too, like how you kind of get boxed into seasons with mm-hmm. sports, especially with school sports, because that's like, this is the season that we do this. This is the season we do this. But you are on a continuous. Like a progressive pathway, mm-hmm. you're always improving everything, and you're trying to improve everything over mm-hmm. time.
Yep.
You're not looking at a season, you're looking at, well, by next year I need to be doing this.
Yep.
And by the year after that I need to be doing this.
Yep.
So it's just, it has nothing to do with that except for your own goals in the sport and what you're doing.
Yep. Sure.
So last question. We talked physical, we talked how the body is, we talked about the science, physiology, we talked about everything there. How does your brain and thought process feel after you go through breath holds? Like, tell and explain that part, like the neuro, like your mental clarity and the mental side of things.
First off, during breath holds are also a mental battle.
Okay.
So as I explained earlier, so it's after you're done with breath holds, it's... you feel kind of in tune with your brain. You feel like you have way greater control over your thoughts. You know what you're doing, and you're set to go. Whether those breath holds were meant to warm you up for practice or warm you up for a gym session or just do them just to do them. So you feel a lot sharper, and I don't think I ever feel more focused than when after I do them. So it benefits you in every single possible way imaginable. I mean, I think that breath holds are a huge reason why I have improved the way that I have improved over the last year. And I'm hoping that that continues to be the case.
Yeah, and that's just oxygen getting to your brain. And I think I told you the story of me, like, I'll have mm-hmm. pre-workout at like
yep.
4:15 in the morning, 4:30,
yep.
work out, and then I'm my first patient at 7:30, and I'm staring at them completely calm, super
yep.
sharp. They're like, what did this guy do this morning? He's just staring at me. It's so early right now,
mm-hmm.
but you're sharp, right? Like, you're
yep.
you're within your own consciousness.
Yeah, I feel like when you do them at, like, I don't know, 6, 7 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
you once you're done, you feel like it's 3 p.m. already.
You're
like,
just,
that's you're on and you're
yeah.
ready to go.
Yeah. Do you do the 4 minute drill before bed? Do you ever do it before sleep?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of patient feedback I get there. So the 4 minute drills, 4 seconds in, 6 seconds out, pause on empty for one. I recommend this for a lot of athletes. I recommend it for people with anxiety issues, people with high stress life, jobs, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that when you breathe out and you exhale, that's whenever you are going to slow the heart rate. Mm-hmm. And when you breathe in and inhale, that is when you're going to speed it up. Because when you're exhaling, you're firing, you do more firing the vagus nerve, and then that's what you can slow it down and switch from fight or flight sympathetic response into more of that rest, digest, parasympathetic. So you do that 4 minute drill. Does it help you fall asleep easier?
Oh yes, definitely. I mean, especially like after a day where I was like all over the place, didn't really have time to chill out at all.
Yeah.
Just before bed, do those 4 minutes, and then you're ready to go to sleep. It's just kind of like you're telling your body, all right, it's time to go to sleep now.
Yeah.
And it's very relaxing, and I mean, I fall asleep right away pretty much.
And we heal when we sleep. So think about being able to switch yourself out of fight or flight to rest, digest, to go to sleep, and then get a little bit more of a healing and recovery sleep. You get better sleep that way. That's another part of your recovery. So Alex, thanks for joining us, man. You're going to crush it today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Crush the season. Keep up with the breath holds. And when you get to 3 minutes, text me, and then we'll get you up to five next.
Okay.